Okay, am I on go. This one?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Aloha. Lina. Well, what happened to our theme song? Okay, while you work on it, I'll just do my little intro here. Aloha mai, ohana and friends. Aloha, welcome. It's Monday, July 7th, 2014, 5 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time. And this is your host and friend for the next 45 minutes or so. Puanani Rogers is my name. Ho'okipa mai, welcome. Welcome to all. Ho'okipa mai o ko. And according to our moon calendar, which is what we Kanakamaoli always go by, it's Po'akahi, or Monday, and the moon phase is Mohalu, which, by the way, is a name I gave to one of my granddaughters. Her name is Mohalu. Besides being the name of the moon phase, it also means an active word meaning blooming. So her translation of her Hawaiian name is Blooming Petals of a Beautiful Flower. Thought I'd share that with you. Mohalo. Okay, and here in the studio, of course, you've already heard her mellifluous voice is our engineer and co-host, Tita Lei. Aloha Lei. Could you find our music?
Well, you know, there's so many different ways that you can find the same solution. So I'm working on it. I've got number three, and we'll have it up in about 20 seconds.
Okay, yeah. Stick with us, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a beautiful day here on Kauai. We're out here in Princeville on the North Shore at KKCR's radio station. It's a community radio station, and we're so thankful to KKCR for giving us this opportunity to speak and to voice our concerns or our aloha to all our people on the island, in Hawaii, or wherever they may be on this planet. Whoever's listening live streaming, I hope that's all coming together for you. That you found the right place. Well, mahalo for your continuous support to help us in this effort. All of you listeners out there, it could not happen without you. We welcome your comments and your opinions. Can just call us. You can email us on dj.kkcr.org for those that are live streaming and would like to send us an email. Otherwise, call us. There's a toll-free number. It's 1-866. Where did it go? Call 808-826-7771. If you'd like to call in. Okay, I'd like to now do, we just wanted to say that there has been so many very, very different kinds of things happening to us this past few weeks. And here we go with our theme song, Ekala Maya'u. Aloha!
From the powers that lead our eyes.
theme song. It gets us all worked up and ready to do the show, really. I was jumping up and down.
I know, Auntie.
Living
you need to have that song.
Land. Oh, yes. We
well, welcome
are sovereign.
To Living Sovereign with Nani Rogers.
Mahalo. Well, okay, before we go on, I want to do a big plug for some things that will be happening here. And one of them is that our island is being specially honored this month to hold the world, a World Hula Conference. It'll be here on Kauai from July 10th to the 18th. For more information, please go to their Facebook page and go Facebook and type Ka'aha Hula o Halau'aola 214 or go to www.hulaconference.org. Okay, you can find it on Facebook if you're there. Just go, type the hula halau. Yeah. It's a long one to
Ka'aha
remember.
Hula?
I know. I hate to tell them this halawa long
ola
thing.
Who's I like the halawa it ola. I just say it.
Halawa
it was
ola.
A question.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they okay go to their Facebook, too, especially because they have postings of all the many different speakers. And
yes, speakers, musical groups,
oh, what a
halaus
wonderful group.
The opening ceremony, I believe, is going to be a real fabulous opening ceremony.
They went all around to the places, to the sites
yes
in Seattle and Japan, and you know, everybody
yes
got their trainings. And
there's so many halaus that are learning this particular kahiko dance that they're going to do in their opening ceremony. So I believe there's going to be like hundreds of dancers at that time. But I'm sorry to say, though, that it is not open to the public. Unless you are participating or have paid your dues or your registration fees for the conference, then the rest of that opening ceremony will be closed to the public. So I think that's a sad thing. But anyway, what a feather in our cap for Kauai. This is a world conference.
It only comes around in, what, 15, 16? I forget how many years.
I think she said the next Keholani Kekua said that it comes around again in 2013.
Because they go to all the islands
now,
or
yeah
all the different places, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a while anyway, okay?
You know, just imagine all of that hula, all of that ancestral
can't
mana
wait
going to be here on Kauai.
Oh, I can't
you know,
wait.
I just go ole out the window to say ole, ole aloha, you know, from Olua Kealia.
Yes. Well, I'm going to go because I'm volunteering.
Fantastic.
I'm
going to
dance as many hulas as I can and help out as much as I can with anybody's workshop.
I'd be happy to be a fly on the wall at any of those speaker lectures.
It's going to be fantastic
any of them,
networking.
Any of them.
Yes.
You know, from La'o to the arts, the cultural
the
arts.
Workshops,
the workshops.
And the hua-ka'is. Hua-ka'is are tours that
it's
they're
fabulous
going to take to different parts of
so
our island.
So, check out their website.
Yes, please. This is an important
Facebook
event
page
for us. It's historical, I believe, and this is the World Conference for Hula happening on Kauai.
And guaranteed, so many of our ohana, I know my ohana, come from way back over here in the islands, and so to know and to hear some of their music and ole to come back to life again.
In
different
such
flavors.
A hula person. I've been dancing hula since I was 11 years old, so that's my world. I love the hula. Okay, another announcement. OHA is coming to Kauai for their Board of Trustees meeting on July 16th, Wilcox School at 6:30, and then on July 17th is the board themselves. I think, I'm not sure if public is invited, but they're going to have their own special meeting. And that's, I think, at the KIUC.
Why come over Kauai if it's not for,
I don't know.
Talk
I know
the
first one is to the public, and I'm going to go. It's going to be 6 o'clock, and I do a workshop at the Hula Conference that day, but I can still make it for 6:30 at Wilcox. That's OHA, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, Board of Trustees, meeting on Kauai, That doesn't happen often either. Every once in a while, maybe every 2 or 3 months, is when they come to our island. And then now we come to what has really been happening. The most interesting thing happening here with us has been the Department of Interior and the Department of Justice holding hearings here on our islands, each one of our islands, asking us questions and wanting to, offering us help to build a government-to-government relationship with them. Very tricky questions, because underlying it is really keeping us under their thumbs and under domestic laws. That was the key word when they said that they were doing all of this under domestic laws. And, you know, it's American law. It's not international law. And we should be talking to each other as a nation to a nation, because Hawaii is a nation. So we're hoping also for Kalani Souza to be calling. He's going to be one of our guest callers, and also a Native American friend calling from the continent, from Mokuhonu, Green Turtle Island. That'll be about 5:30, 5:35. I asked him to call. So, what do you think about this DOI and DOJ people coming? First of all, the hearings. What's your impression? Whatever you saw.
I think that, of the hearings that I saw, I think there's a lot more voices that we're not hearing from.
Yeah.
And I think it's because, I don't know, I can't speak for them, but, the whole, it seems rather intimidating, and I kind of question.
And the whole thing was a farce, actually, I thought.
Well, it's understandable that they're going to send individuals here to take testimony. Just take testimony. Get the information down. Yeah. Be a representative. Don't say anything. Don't think anything. Don't do anything. Just get the testimony.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is not a nice.
Not fair.
Well, it's an uncomfortable
relationship. They're not answering our questions. How come we got to answer theirs and they don't answer ours?
I don't know. Come my house.
Saying.
You like sit down, talk story. We talk story. What's, not even a conversation. What's happening?
But,
so, and the other thing is what bothers me is that we have had so many individuals and collective peoples already doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as if they're like, okay, now why you like sovereignty or what you want?
That's right.
It's like, gee, you haven't been following the story, have you?
That's true. Their timing was way off. It was not the right time for them to come, because we were already in the throes of a discussion to how to restore our nation. And we really want them to answer Kamanao Crab's question, because that, I think, was the catalyst of what started this whole thing. And my kudos and praise and hats off to Kamanao for asking that question. First, does the Hawaiian Kingdom as a sovereign independent state continue to exist as a subject of international law? That's one question. Second, if the Hawaiian Kingdom continues to exist, do the sole executive agreement bind the United States today? Third, if the Hawaiian Kingdom continues to exist and the sole executive agreements are binding on the United States, what effect would such a conclusion have on United States domestic legislation, such as the Hawaii Statehood Act 73, Stat 4, and Act 195? So, is someone wanting to speak. Okay, so anyway, those are the questions. And we know all the answers to these questions already, wow. See. But we need to hear it from them. We need to hear it from Secretary Kerry and from, well, Obama, if you, you know, if you act like he's from here.
We do have a caller that wanted to share their manao on the subject as well, Auntie.
My Kailoa. Welcome, aloha. Caller.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I just want to share, it's a whole funny thing, because, go on, Obama, yeah, he proclaimed he's from here, but everyone know America is being ran by an illegal president to today, because to be on president of the United States, you need to be an American citizen. Basically, Clinton writes an apology letter that he has done. It's a whole kick in the butt, because, for one, that means Hawaii ain't part of the U.S., and the U.S. is being ran by an illegal president to today.
Yep. Yeah,
and I just like share to the people and to our native Kanaka, you know, the Kanaka Pulena, the cool, the Kauai Kauai, I want to know.
Aloha, holo imua, mahalo kako, mahalo brother.
Poki.
Could you hear that well? It was kind of,
It did come out muffled, but the mana was shining right through.
Yes, that was, yes, he's certainly correct, I think, in what he says.
But yeah, I could hear
you. You know, if there are people listening that did not have a chance to testify on Tuesday or on Monday in Waimea or Kapa'a, this is your chance. If you have, in a few words, don't make it too long, talk to the world and tell the world how you feel about giving up our rights, our sovereignty, our independence to be under the Department of Interior or the United States, okay?
You know, we had Kalani Sousa also call. He was on.
All right, Kalani.
But I wasn't sure if he wanted to be on air or just talk to you.
Yes, he did.
He's
going to sing to us. He's going to sing
Kalani,
a song.
Oh, Kalani, call again.
Oh, yes, Kalani. And then at 5:35, we'll have another caller. But is that Kalani?
No.
Oh, sorry, brother. Was it a dropped call? Okay, we're going to keep going. So, number one, it was a farce because the right people were not here. We know that who we're supposed to be talking to is the Secretary of State, Kerry. Everybody told him that. And everybody said, please respond to Dr. Crabb's question. And everybody said, stop the military occupation of our country. As well as the other countries of the Pacific, our cousins in Polynesia, specifically the Republic of the Marshall Islands that is being occupied by the military, and as well as Tahiti, I believe. Oh, but that's the French. Oh, okay. Well, they did though bomb Vieques Island. For testing with nuclear bombs, so I hope they go back and clean it up. Stop Pacific rimming our ocean. While these hearings were going on, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? They were bombing our oceans, and there were like 30-something countries with their military here using our space for their military testing. And, that's got to stop, because they're just...
You had a good dinner? Okay.
Oh.
Aloha.
Aloha, Auntie. We did have another caller. We were having technical difficulties. No.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that, everyone.
Oh, hey.
We apologize.
No.
Okay.
Aloha.
Oh, there we are. Aloha, Auntie. You wanted to share your mana'o with Auntie Puanani?
Aloha, Auntie Nani. My me'e.
Oh, hello. You're my me'e.
I'm calling from Texas.
Oh, it's my me'e, Melissa.
Yes.
Thank you. Darling, share with us what you thought about the hearing over here on Kauai.
I have been very impressed with our people doing their
all our people
testimonies and everything. It's very heart wrenching. Sometimes my heart is very sore when I listen to their voices of the struggle, you know, of what they're going through. The reason I called you, Auntie, is because I am a Hawaiian living on the continent.
Yes.
And I am one of the Hawaiians that Oha and Kanayu Olubalu went and recruited to sign their Kanayu Olubalu registry.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
I feel like we're being misused. We were misused because we have these DUI hearings in Hawaii, but they set up hearings here for the American Indians and forgot us in the process. So I am thinking that all they wanted was my name for a number.
Excellent point. Yes, you know, that is a good question. There are a lot of Kanaka Maoli on the continent, and why not take the hearing to them as well? I'm sorry that you guys get, forgotten. And this is not the first time either, is it?
No, it's not. It seems to be like when they need something to be
to count.
Passed or carried out on in Hawaii, they come to the continent to get numbers. And then we're forgotten. And I don't want us to be forgotten because I have mo'opuna. Etc.
Yes.
And if we're forgotten, you know, it's kind of scary. If we're not counted,
mm-hmm.
then who are we? I know I'm Hawaiian, but there's no I won't be part of the state.
Yeah.
You know, I won't be part of the nation, and that's what worries me.
I know. Well, that's certainly something that we're going to have to fix when we get our powers back.
Yes, I ask everyone at home to please not forget us on the continent, you know?
Yes, I know. Okay.
We're Hawaiian, you know, even though we're not at home, we're still Hawaiian.
Absolutely, Auntie. Don't worry, we haven't forgotten you guys. Not at all. Okay, love you so much. Thank you for sharing. And you have shared something that is something we should work on, and we will work on it. We'll make it better. Okay?
Thank you. I love your program.
Mahalo.
And I love hearing your voice.
Same here. I love hearing yours, too.
You
sound different. Okay.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to discuss what's been happening in the islands, and I want to hear them too.
Okay. Love you, Auntie.
Okay. Love you. Aloha.
Aloha. Do we have another caller? No.
Okay. Hold on, Auntie. I got a number of buttons to push and then answer your question. Yes, we do have another caller. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Aloha. Can you hear me?
Oh, aloha. Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
Hi, Mani.
Hi.
Hi, Tita. What's up, man?
Micaela. It's Tita Cheryl. She's the co-host.
Well, you know, I just wanted to expand on my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
That I did, and I thank you for doing it, Nani, to bring the telephone up to the mic and getting all, you know, permission to have me testify. I really appreciated that.
Mm.
In closing of my testimony, I requested that the Department of Interior audit or investigate the state of Hawaii's Department of Land and Natural Resources and all its departments and divisions. Such as the Department of Aquatic Resources,
mm-hmm.
Also Department of Boat and Ocean Recreation, and also the Department of Forestry and Wildlife, and the Bureau of Conveyances, and also Commission on Water Resource Management, and the SHPD, State Historic Preservation Division, Office of Conservation and Coastal Lands, State Parks Division, Joe Care is Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement Division. And also burials, inadvertent finds, yeah, for Kauai. We are our records.
I
had also requested an audit on the Department of Health regarding water quality and MPDS permits, which they can discharge sewage water into our ocean, streams, and rivers. And so as I named out all the different divisions and departments, if you understand who I'm talking about, they deal with our land. They deal with our water.
That's right.
And even our documents of our Palapala Sila Nui too, the Bureau of Conveyances. So that's not the only thing, but DLNR holds a bundle, and they are responsible for all the records that they have accumulated. So I would request, even for the Ahamoku, to request for the information to have a baseline data on the Department of Aquatic Resources. I mean, what's then and what's now? We need to know that because we're in a process of even of a law, that a bill, which we know everything is all false, right? Because we are nations. But anyway, I just wanted to expand when I said the Department of Land and Natural Resources and all the divisions and departments that I have indicated is what's running Hawaii.
Very good points.
So I'm listening to you. I mean, there's other points, too.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to listen to all, too.
Okay. I hope more people call in. Mahalo so much, Cheryl.
Thank you, Kate.
Okay. We'll continue to elaborate on that. As far as the Ahamoku goes, I think those particular concerns that you have, we can take care of it in our Ahupua'a councils. Or in our Moku Council. So mahalo for that. Very good point. And that is, you know, following the money, because in actuality, this is all about money, right? Why do people want lands? They want land so that they can make money off of it. It is, they use it like as a commodity for them, which is totally different from how we think about our lands. Our aina is not a commodity. It feeds us. It's a part of us. It's a family. It's our mother. It's something that we should take care of like a mother or a grandmother and nurture it and take care of it and heal it. And opposite of what Western thinking is, where it's you buy it or you sell it or you trade it. Or you bomb it, or you poison it with chemicals, or you just have no respect. A total antithesis of what we think of our aina when we say malama aina, aloha aina. So that's what I was standing up and testifying for. I was trying to defending our aina, defending our legacy that we have to pass on to our children with hopes that it will be better than how it is now. So I see another red light blinking. I hope it's another caller that would like to testify.
Actually, Auntie, we got to do bottom of the hour. Identifications here.
KKCR, Hale, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Haleiwa.
And mahalo nui loa for listening to Kauai Community Radio. We also have this for you.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, volunteers, board, or underwriters.
Okay, and we're back on the air. Auntie Nani, you wanted to talk some more, you said?
Oh, well, we'll see who's got, who's on the line, okay. The Pacific Rimming situation here in the islands, that's been going on for a long, long time. It's the inundating military presence that is a real threat. It's a real, real threat to all of us. Our people are not healthy because of the bombing that they do in Makua Valley, Pohakuloa on the Big Island. In Waianae, people are getting sick from the things in the air. I can't remember what it is. I'm sorry.
Didn't have John King on the other line.
Oh, okay.
John King, your guest? Yeah.
What is that noise, though? Aloha, John.
Aloha, or sego, as we say.
Say it again?
Sego.
Sego.
Sego. Oh. Yes, it means it's a greeting, but it's also an offering of peace.
Oh, I'm so thrilled and grateful that you're able to call us. This is important to us, that's why. And I really would like to, first introduce yourself and what radio station you work for. And, you know, where do you live? Where do you come from?
Well, I'm Mohawk, or as we call ourselves really Gunyagahaga. But most people would know us as Mohawks. I live on the Cattaraugus territory of the Seneca Nation. They're also referred to as the Onundaga. So I live near Buffalo, New York, for people to get a sense for where the Cattaraugus territory is. I do two radio shows. I do a show in Buffalo, New York, and it's called Let's Talk Native, and that's on Sunday nights from 9 to 11 Eastern. And then I do a show in New York City on WBAI in New York City every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. In fact, I've had the luxury of having some of your prestigious people on my program, both in New York and in Buffalo. I had Keanu Tsai join me in New York, and I also had Umi Perkins join me in New York. Two very good shows, very informative. And then I had two folks just this past Sunday, or last night, on my show in Buffalo, who were at the hearing in Hana. I had Shane Sinensi and Frank Sinensi. They both were on my program last night and offered some really great insight to what took place there. And I got to tell you, one of the things that I was most moved by, Frank being Kupuna, was that he was very moved at the young people and how strong the young people and how educated the young people have gotten on these issues. And he said, you know, he regrets so much having grown his whole life. He's in his 70s now, to have grown his whole life and always have been misled for decades about what really transpired with the annexation. I mean, he grew up being taught that there was just an abdication of the throne and that it was a peaceful turnover. And now as people have become more and more aware of just what transpired coming from the 70s and the 80s and into the 90s when finally, during the Clinton administration, they offered the apology, and the resolution, the House, joint House resolution on the apology. It has made people so much aware. You know, the thing is where you guys are standing now, you guys are at a place now where you all have the knowledge to know that you have the right your nationhood, and you have that right to reestablish your monarchy or whatever form of government you so choose. And the question is for you to consolidate your people and your thoughts and your loyalties enough to do that. So when the Interior Department comes in offering this stuff, and clearly this isn't the first time. Obviously, the Akaka bill was another attempt at this. And I think as a Native person here, I've got to tell you. I'm Mohawk, and we are not federally recognized, believe it or not. People find it hard to believe.
Oh.
What they do is they recognize little entities of people that are called Mohawks, like there's a place called St. Regis, and they'll recognize the St. Regis tribe of Mohawks, but they don't recognize the Mohawk Nation. And I'll tell you, we don't want that recognition, because you know what that recognition is? It's a recognition of subordination.
Yes.
It's a recognition as a ward custodian relationship, and
that's
all that comes out of the court system. So what they're offering to you, what they're trying to lay out for you, is not nation to nation. It's not even really government to government. It is them as the superior sovereign looking down at you as something, fairly above human. That's why they use words like tribe. Tribe or something, represents something that is primitive and something that is, barely
subordinate.
And so that's what then they throw these other words out there like trust relationship.
Uh-huh.
There's no trust relationship.
No.
Since when could a Hawaiian actually trust, or any native person for that matter, trust the federal government? What they do is trust, what they're saying is, we'll hold your land for you. We'll own your land for you, and we'll give you free use and enjoyment of it, and we'll throw you a bone here, we'll throw you mm-hmm. a bone there, and we'll try to give you things. But that's not the same thing as respecting you or recognizing your sovereignty.
Mm-hmm. We know all of that. We've experienced it many, many times over. And that's why we're so smart now, because we've been there, done that.
Well, and I think it's important that people understand that as a Native person here, we know, I know how bad the federal recognition process is. So,
yes.
And there's going to be, but there's going to be some people from the continent here who are going to say, oh no, it's been good for us. We have programs. We have just, all of the things that your people are suffering from are the same things that we're suffering from in terms of poverty, alcoholism, teenage pregnancy, dropout, incarceration. All
drug
that
abuse.
Stuff is the same thing. It's the same things here. So how is this trust relationship working out? It's not working out so far. So if that's what they're offering is more of the same, why would we want that?
That's right. We learned from you folks.
Well, and again, many of us here reject this notion of this. Because here's what they define it. They say a tribe, band, or nation of Indians subordinate to the laws of the United States. And I'll tell you, Sally Jewell, when she put this thing together, that's exactly what she laid out in her press release. She said, in 2000, the Department of Interior and the Department of Justice jointly issued a report on the reconciliation process that identified self-determination for Native Hawaiians under federal law as a leading recommendation. So everything's about
federal
even their
law,
five questions.
Domestic
their
law.
Their five questions. Are terrible. The first question they ask first, and I like the way they can't call you just Hawaiians. They have to call you Native Hawaiians. That word Native on the front is making you into something else. You're Hawaiian. Everybody else who's not Hawaiian are American. You are Hawaiian. And they said, should the secretary propose? These are the five questions. I don't know if you read them. Do you mind if I go through them?
Go through them.
Okay, I can read through them real quick. So, should the secretary propose an administrative rule that would facilitate the reestablishment of a government-to-government relationship with the Native Hawaiian community? First off, that's the first question. What do they mean reestablish? They destroyed that relationship. They ran it over with crimes that they committed at the turn of the century. So when they say reestablish, they're not talking about reestablishing a government-to-government in the way that it existed prior to 1893. They're talking about saying, we are the superior sovereign and you are something less than that. So that's what they're really proposing, and they should come out and say it. Their second question says, should the secretary assist the Native Hawaiian community in reorganizing its government with which the United States could reestablish a government-to-government relationship? So in other words, can we make your government for you? Can we tell you how to govern yourself? And they passed something called the Indian Reorganization Act back in 1934, where they tried to eradicate all the traditional governments that existed on Native territories here on the continent. And many of our territories rejected it. But that was their attempt to eliminate our culture, to eliminate our language, to eliminate all the things that they've been doing anyway. So when they say, we'll build a government for you, because they hate the idea that you would use your traditional monarchy or your constitutional monarchy again. They want, in fact, they wouldn't even, they would reject that. And that's what they're kind of saying in that question. Third question. Yeah. If so, what process should be established for drafting and ratifying reorganized Native Hawaiian government's constitution or other governing document? In other words, what process should be established? So they're going to say they want to establish the process for helping, for developing your constitution for you. I mean, that's obviously the third question that should be and has been widely rejected. But these last two are really among the worst. And it said, should the secretary instead rely on the reorganization of Native Hawaiian government through a process established by the Native Hawaiian community, facilitated by the state, to the extent such process is consistent with federal law.
Yeah.
Again, so now they're saying, well, we'll back away and let you do it, but we'll have the state oversee. We'll have the state of Hawaii oversee. And that's not just talking about OHA.
This is so funny. Isn't it ridiculously funny?
This is exactly it, yeah.
Ridiculous. Well, it's all under federal law, domestic law.
Federal law. So they're saying everything that they're proposing is under their rule and under
okay, I'll tell you what. You know what, John? We all know that, you know. That is all part of our history. So what you're telling us is that you folks suffering the same things as we are. So then I want to know.
And we're fighting the same poverty fight that you are. We're pushing back, you know, as a Mohawk, and where we live here, people can't believe how much we push the state back. We do what we want to do. I mean, the fact that we do certain businesses, the gaming, tobacco, and that kind of stuff, we do this stuff, and we push back hard against the state. We've literally had knockdown dragouts on the New York State Thruway with the state police. We've had confrontations with governors, not just the one that exists here, Andrew Cuomo, but back to when his dad, Mario Cuomo, was the governor. So we have a history of standing up and standing strong as Mohawks, as Senecas, here in New York. But a lot of other territories are very, very complicit. When I look at things like the National Congress of the American Indians, when I listen to Brian Gladysby speak, mm-hmm. I mean, he talks like they're just happy to be a part of the United States. I don't consider the United States Mike. I'm not American. I'm Mohawk. I'm Gunyugahaga. I'm not a U.S. citizen. I reject U.S. citizenship. And yet they're always trying to shove us into their box. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And they won't come right out and say it. But that's exactly mm-hmm. what they're trying to do to you folks. And I'm so proud to hear your people stand up in the way that they've stood up. It's just amazing to me to listen to all those young voices and the older voices. I mean, men and women both standing up, speaking so strongly. I'll tell you, you should be very, very, very proud of your people.
Oh, thank you, John. I am. I certainly am. And I'm glad that you got to watch them. I hope one day that I can get to watch every single one of those voices that participated in this. Because
well,
I
you know,
am
crazy.
Proud
also,
of every single one of them.
Those hearings back here. So to the extent that they're trying to convince you, we're going to set something up distinct from, we're not really going to call you Indian tribes, then why are they, the same hearings, in their press release, they're actually coming out here. They're coming out to Native territories. They're heading out to Shakopee. They're heading out to Ojibwe territory. They're heading out to Lakota territory. They're doing these same hearings in our Native territories. So why should Native people here be weighing in with the Department of Interior on rulemaking for you if they aren't trying to put
you
in
them
the
that.
Same boat that we're in?
I asked them that same question, and Esther Kia Aina, who is the Hawaiian sitting on that panel, told me that, it's policy. Well, I said, you know what? This policy is wrong. Change that policy.
You guys need to reach out internationally as much as possible. You mentioned the Philippines and other Polynesian territories, you know, Asia.
Occupied.
Those of us nations here, regional nations on the continent, you know, I would encourage the Mohawks and the Senecas and everybody possible to develop as many people as possible, develop diplomatic relations with, as you guys establish your governing structure, whatever it is, if it's a constitutional monarchy or whatever you put together, just remember the United States system is not exactly the most functional. If you look at what's happening in Washington D.C. right now, it is among the most dysfunctional governments on the planet.
Yes.
And they brag about democracy and they brag about all this stuff. But you know, if you go back even to what Grover Cleveland when he was doing the assessment on just how criminal it was. What had transpired with Sanford Dole and those guys, when he was reevaluating and then going through the Blunt report, you know, even then they said it's very clear that what was being established there was not really a republic and that it was wrong and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, they knew that there was the word democracy weren't even used by the United States 100 years ago. They were still referring to themselves as a constitutional republic. And now they throw this word democracy around like the American style of democracy is so functional.
Hmm.
You need to build consensus with your people. I know that's tough,
and that's kind of the
way our systems work. But and when I hear those voices saying at these hearings, and I've listened to reports from three or four of these hearings already.
Yeah.
And I paid very much attention. I've got a good friend of mine who who works in Hana. Mm-hmm. And she's a Red Lake Ojibwe. She's my personal friend, Liz Hill. She's my publicist, and she helps me produce one of my shows. She lives there in Hana. And so she was giving me almost a play-by-play as far as what was taking place there. And I was thrilled to death to hear how much unity there was there. I'm always surprised, to a certain extent, when I hear that one lone voice that says, yes, our kingdom was overthrown illegally. Yes, we've been mistreated by the United States, but we still want this. You know, and so when I hear that one or two lone voices out of that sea of resounding no's, I'm wondering, what have these people been thinking?
They're shills.
Well, and I know they're always trying to pull back on the entitlements, and I know that's what gets some people nervous. But I'll tell you, beyond your independence, you guys also have a solid, solid, solid claim for, for tremendous reparations from the United States in terms of the damage they've done with their military presence there, the damage they've done with the tourism industry as it's built up. And whether you actually reject, fully reject American presence or work on an arrangement where certain areas are leased or whatever else, you're obviously going to have a relationship with the United States, but it has to be one based on equals. Maybe you can lease them some space rather than them trying to claim ownership of your land.
Thank you very much, John. Okay, but I've got two questions for you. Number one is, are you also seeking for your independence, you tribes up there? Are you all trying to get your own lands back and your independence? And if so, how well are you doing?
Well, you know, we assert our independence. We don't necessarily ask for it. And as far as our lands, we are in a unique spot here because we actually do own our lands. And in fact, you know, the United States has always recognized that the lands of the Haudenosaunee, which is kind of the Iroquois Confederacy, all of our lands that we still retain, and granted, we've lost much of those lands, but for the lands that we still retain are not held. They're not held in trust by the federal government. We own them in fee. We own them, outright.
But are you free?
So our lands are clearly
are you free
ours,
to rule the
but
land?
We are constantly in a battle with the state and the federal government over jurisdictional issues.
I see. Okay, I get it. All right, mm-hmm. Same boat as we are. And then my second question is, can we count on our Native American or it's another thing I wanted to ask. What do you guys want to be called? Native American, or Indians, but if you want to be called by tribes, then we don't know what your tribe names are.
Well, and that's difficult. When you try to speak to us about, in mass, it's kind of difficult. Frankly, I use the word native. I don't like Native
American.
I don't consider myself an American. I think the word native is generic enough, and it's not a loaded word like
or aboriginal,
like
maybe.
Or aboriginal, because it almost has this subjugated tone to it. As a native person, I'm proud to refer to myself as a native person. And we have a word in our own language. It's called Ongwe Unwe, and that means original or real human beings. That's Ongwe Unwe. But
what Kanaka Maoli means.
Native languages, it gets difficult when you cross different native lines, I guess.
I see. Okay, so then we can count on all of you then to support us in this DOI hearings and say
I don't think you can count on all of us. I think there are plenty of people here on the continent that are bought and paid for within that federal system. But what I'm saying is that there are many of us who are not. So my point is, if you need some solid Native voices to ever have to counter anybody, any of these other organizations, because I mean, I've had prominent Native voices on my show even recently, and I asked about the Hawaiian issue, and even somebody like Suzanne Harjo, who is fairly well known. She's been an activist for many years. Mm-hmm. And when I told her, I said that the people of Hawaii are rejecting this department. She says, oh no, that's not true. The vast majority of Hawaiians want this Department of Interior recognition, and they very much supported the Akaka bill. I said, but I don't know who you're talking to, but that's not what I'm picking up. So there are people within the Native community that, frankly, are going to say, oh yeah, come on in, the water's fine, don't worry about it. But yeah. I'm telling you that there are many of us who are strong in our sovereignty movement. As a Mohawk, I know that we push back both on the Canadian side, because we're on both Canada and the U.S. side of that imaginary line.
Right,
we push back on both sides, and there are many of us that are very, very proud of what you're doing. And I think you will hear some Native voices that are going to sound, as weak as some of the voices you'll even hear in your own communities about saying, oh yeah, we should go for this. But there are going to be all, there are many of us very, very strong in our voices, very, very strong in our convictions, and very strong because we don't feel like there's ever been a legal transfer of our sovereignty to the United States either. Mm-hmm. Yours is, your cases are very, very clear and easy, very easy to litigate in terms of international court. Our stuff is older, so people have a tendency to say, well, it's not as clear because you go back to the, the early 1700s or the late 1700s. Your stuff is so recent that it's amazing to me how effective that the United States has been at burying the truth from, for the generations not knowing of the real history. I'm just impressed that your people have gotten it back so quickly. The strength to resist what the Department of Interior.
And the word is kue. Resist and persist and stand strong. Kue. Thank you so much, John.
I'm glad you guys are doing that, and thank you for allowing me to join you. I enjoyed the program, and I've enjoyed a lot of the feedback I've gotten on having some of the folks on my programs. I want to stay on this issue. I mean, I do a show in New York City every single every Thursday, and I have been pounding this Hawaii issue because I think American people need to know this thing. You need to, the people on the continent have to understand just how bad you guys have been
played
and manipulated.
We appreciate all the help you can do for us there, John. Thank you so much. We're running out of time now.
Running out of time. Yeah. We got a caller who's been patiently waiting.
We do have one last caller.
Teresa.
Mahalo, John.
No, thank you.
Aloha. Teresa. Teresa.
Gotta press the button.
Teresa.
Aloha. Are you a caller? Are you on the air?
Aloha.
Oh, Teresa. Mahalo for
aloha.
Calling.
I'm calling from Oko Keawe.
I know. My Ka'iloa. Please hurry. We only have a few minutes, babe.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to say I did testify in Keoka. I've been on Facebook since the beginning of the notification, trying to let our people know in all the states, Alaska as well. We have a large majority of our Lahui that's out there, and they have not been notified.
Yes.
So we have just kind of taken it on ourselves to use social media and get the word out there, and also trying to reach out to, of course, all of our Native nations out there as well.
Good
and
job.
Let them know what's going on.
Is this Teresa Tabor?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Oh, hi, friend.
Hi.
Right now, I just met you on Facebook. Thanks for all your videos and all the updates.
Oh, I try to do what I can. You know, I grew up in California. I came here to Keoka for the summers, and that was really my only orientation. Both my parents live in Kapa'a. They did testify at the Kapa'a meeting.
Really?
And, yes, they did.
We must talk some more about that. Okay.
My father's the manager there for the airport.
Oh, what is his name?
Dennis Nevis.
Dennis Nevis. I met Dennis and his wife that night.
Yes.
That night in Kapa'a.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's your parents. Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much, Teresa. We'll keep in touch.
Thank you so much. Okay. Aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay, I'm so sorry the time has gone already, but what wonderful conversations. I want to make a shout out again to John for calling in, John Kane, and thank you, Teresa, and thank you the gentleman that did that beautiful oli for us. Mahalo, brother, what you said was true. And all of you that participated and testified, all that you said was true. We heard you loud and clear. I'm so proud of Kauai. One lady called me from Maui and told me, Kauai, you get plenty class. I went far out. Thank you. Mahalo, everyone. Malama pono. May Keakua bless all of you. Remember, you are sovereign, so continue to live sovereign. Ahui ho. Aloha.
And stay tuned, top of the hour. Stay tuned, top of the hour. Richard will be playing for you Sunset Jazz. The proclamation from the